This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Starting a little bit earlier, because I'm not getting through anything. Like I'm barely doing three verses, and I have like 15 up there, and we're not getting through any of them. I'll try and do a little bit, just start a little bit earlier. Again, you know, you're welcome to come in anytime you want, and the goal of this is just to help you. And if you're trying to connect with the Quran as you're listening to the recitation during Taraweeh, I'm just trying to point out some verses for you, give you a little bit of a context of the surah, help you maybe, you know, achieve that. This is not definitely something that's easy to achieve, and I haven't done it before, so please feel free to give me feedback on how this is working, and if it is working, or if it's not, I'm open to any suggestions. So as I kind of pointed out yesterday, I have a housekeeping thing I was supposed to talk about. God will remind me later. There's something. Yes, about the shoes. Barakallahu feekum, when you're coming in, just make sure people put your shoes in the shoe racks. There's a lot of shoe racks, yeah, mashallah, on both sides and up and down, to lessen the amount of shoes on the floor. The reason being is that area that the shoes are left in is being used and utilized for prayer. Like people, when it's getting tight, they're actually using it for prayer. So we're trying to leave less shoes on the ground so that people aren't making sujood on places where the shoes were there, just out of, you know, respect for the brothers and sisters who are trying to make it a little bit late and they want to pray, and they end up stuck in the hallway. So if we can get the shoes kind of removed, it would be nice. Yeah, barakallahu feekum, just as a reminder, a gentle reminder, inshallah, to everybody. So Surah Ali Imran, after Al-Baqarah told us the job description and gave us the methodology, Ali Imran is to talk about the shahawat and shubuhat, all of the different challenges and whims and desires that can ruin this deen. Those threats that come from the outside and those threats that come from within. And that's what kind of Ali Imran covers. And I talked a little bit yesterday about some of them. And today, inshallah, we'll start with ayah number 123, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll talk about the meaning. Jazakallah khair.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد نصركم الله ببدر وأنتم أذلة فاتقوا الله لعلكم تشكرون.
So this verse in Surah Ali Imran, in the second half, as I explained, Surah Ali Imran is divided, you know, right spot in the middle. The first 100 talk about external challenges, and the second 100 talk about internal ones. And Surah Ali Imran, and this ayah that we just recited, talks about, it begins to talk about Uhud. But it begins talking about Uhud by stating something about Badr. And the verse says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ. And indeed Allah had granted you victory back in Badr. And then he describes them in a way. أَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. When you are أَذِلَّةٌ. Now what does أَذِلَّةٌ mean? ذُل is humbleness or humiliation, depending on the context, depending on what is meant. And here, subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I granted you victory back in Badr when you were humble. When you entered the battle with no arrogance, with no vanity, you entered with a lot of fear and reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you were weak, and you acknowledged your weakness, and you came to, and you went, and your hearts were turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true need, and that's why I granted you victory. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of showing gratitude for the fact that you were granted victory on that day. There is almost no one thought you were going to win. No one. Like, no one was rooting for you at all. Like, there's no one in Arabia that thought your victory was even remotely possible, but you still got it. And I like this verse because it's a little bit of a contrast of the ayah I started with yesterday. أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ. The person who's going to be given the garden. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ. And they were struck by arrogance. And just as a caveat, actually two people have asked me about this, so I'm going to point it out. So yes, the traditional interpretation of that verse is kibar is old age. That's the traditional interpretation of it, totally. But it linguistically accepts the concept of arrogance, which is what my teacher actually taught me, and I've always found that interpretation of it to be much more profound in terms in the sequence of the verses. But definitely the traditional interpretation is, yes, he's talking about someone getting old or going into old age. So it's totally fine if that's how I understand it. I'm trying not to go into all the different variations of tafsir by just trying to pointing out the idea that I want you to benefit from. So it's like that verse talked about how arrogance will ruin everything and take away everything and burn everything down. And here, this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out that the reason that you were victorious in Badr, the reason that you were granted that victory, is because you had humbleness in your heart. Because you had dhul inside of you. And that dhul, that exact, not dhul towards your enemy, but dhul in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, you were granted victory. It's very important. This is the majority of Mufassirin, that's how they understand this verse. Fattaqullaha la'allakum tashkurun. So show gratitude. Make sure that you revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect yourselves by showing gratitude. So that's the meaning of ayah number 123. And I think it's worth... So we're going to go to ayah 140, inshallah. Ayah 1, go ahead.
إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين.
إن يمسسكم قرح, if you are going through a difficulty, قرح is when you're going through a difficulty that is very heavy. That's why the word qarh in Arabic, if you're going to take the translation outside the context of faith, it means ulcer. Qarh is an ulcer. So it's a difficulty that causes a lot of pain. That's why the name comes from. So in yamsaskum qarhum, if you are going through a difficulty that's causing you a lot of pain, فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. Know that the people that you are challenging, those who are your enemies, they are also going through difficulties, just like you. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And that's life. I love this verse. This verse is very, very profound. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ. And those are the days of this world. نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. We move the upper hand from one person, from one hand to the other. From one person to the other. That's life. One day you're on top, the other day you're not. Even when it comes to those who are standing by for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes it works out for you the way you want and sometimes it doesn't. And that should not be a reason for you to be less committed or more committed. Like, you shouldn't be more committed if things are working out and less committed when they don't. Or vice versa, for that matter. Your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teachings should be constant based on the fact that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never changes. The ayyam, meaning the periods of time, nudawiluha bayna an-nas. We just move it from one place. That's life. How else are you going to be held? How else are you going to prove your worth? How else are you going to be tested if not through the challenges of time? If all believers were going to always have the upper hand, then where's the test in the matter? Everyone would just become a believer, not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just because of the fact they're going to have the upper hand all the time. Or if it was always the opposite, all believers are always going to be in pain, then no one would have accepted the deen. Long time ago, they would stop doing it. Every time we said la ilaha illallah, just pain and agony and suffering. But that's not how this is. إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ. If you're going through difficulty, others are going through difficulties too. فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. There's nothing personal about it. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And that's just, it's just how time works. There's nothing personal, not about you. If you're capable of identifying things that we're doing or you're doing that can affect the outcome or are affecting the outcome, meaning if you're making a mistake and it's causing negative consequences, stop that. If you identify something that needs to be done to actually make the outcome better, then do that. But even with all of that, you may still end up not getting exactly what you want. So what do you do? وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. That's time. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He goes on a little bit, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is for the purpose of Allah exposing those who truly believe. There has to be something, some trial, some tribulation to expose the believers. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. And these difficulties and this movement of strength throughout time is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can choose martyrs from amongst you. Martyrs don't always mean people who died for the sake of Allah. It doesn't always mean that. Just as a shaheed is someone who is going to be a witness on the day of judgment. A witness as in terms of, you see, it could have been done. Or you couldn't follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was impossible. Oh yeah, it was impossible. So this person is the shaheed. No, it wasn't. You see, this person did it. This person was the role model who was able to do it. That was translated later on into those who die for the sake of Allah, because that's the ultimate sacrifice. Like, it turned into that. That's why in the Arabic poetry, what's a shahid? Or a shaheed, it's an example. Just an example that we'll use in poetry. So in the same idea exists within the whole totality of the language. But obviously a high role model will translate later on into someone who actually is willing to give his life or his or her life for the sake of Allah. But the concept, no. The concept is the person who will put on the best example. So these difficulties of time and these fluctuations of time is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expose the believers and then choose martyrs from amongst you, role models and examples. I think that verse is worthy of contemplation. I want to do, actually, just because I want to, for the sake of time, can we do 165? Can I move to 165? Sorry if you were preparing for something different.
أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
This is a very difficult verse. So listen to it carefully. This verse is commenting on the aftermath of Uhud. In Uhud, in the verses that I kind of skipped, talk about what happened that day. The people who got a little bit greedy in terms of dunya. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ Some people wanted dunya. They ran down that mountain. And they broke the, you know, they disobeyed the command, the very clear command of the Prophet ﷺ. And they caused, the consequence of their deeds was a loss of the battle and the Prophet ﷺ being physically harmed. And the martyrism of a number of great names like Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and Mus'ab ibn Umair and Anas ibn Nadr and others. So this verse here is commenting on something that happened on the way back from Uhud. On the way back from Uhud, the Sahaba, some of them started to talk to one another and say, how did we lose? Like think about it for a moment. Isn't he Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we not the Muslims? Are they not batil? And how could we lose? Like how does it, philosophically, how does this work? Like how did this just happen? If he is Rasulullah and Jibreel is on our side and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports us, how do we lose a battle? It's a very valid question. Huh? And they started wondering. So the Quran would come in all of Surah Ali Imran, I'm not going to talk about all of them, and just address all of these philosophical problems, all of these shubuhat that were existing in the minds of the people. So they would learn. And this one here, to me, is extremely important. أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبًا So now that you have been affected by difficulty, which is the loss of the battle. قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا You inflicted the twice the amount of that same difficulty to your enemy last time. In Uhud, 70 of the Muslims were martyred. In Badr, 70 of the kuffar died and 70 were taken as prisoners of war. So you inflicted this twice the amount of this of this last time. Like when you fought last time, you did twice as good, and this time you're losing. So now that you're losing and you're inflicted by it, قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا You go around and you ask, how did this happen? Where did this come from? Why? Why would this happen to us? This is the أَنَّ هَذَا What is this? How did this happen to us? And then the answer is so meaningful and extremely scary for all of us, because the answer is very simple. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ Say, this is what you did. This is the consequences of your own actions. There is no nepotism in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no nepotism. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to overlook the mistake of a few people, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battlefield, for the sake of the Prophet himself alayhi salatu wa sallam, then what do you think he's going to do for us? You think he's going to overlook the shortcomings of us or others? They ran down the mountain, they lost the battle. Period. You made a mistake, you pay for it. There's no such thing as a free ride or a out of jail card that you can use. It's not monopoly. You make a mistake, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your mistake. The idea, well, I'm Muslim, I'm standing for the sake of Allah. So what? What do you want? A ribbon? What do you want? What are you hoping for? So you're lucky. What you're saying is you're fortunate enough to actually know al-haq and stand by it, and somehow you feel like you deserve something because of that. We deserve nothing. Oh, I'm standing by what is right. Yeah, you're very lucky that you are. How fortunate are you? Maybe go spend a couple of days just doing hamd that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you on the right side of things, that He actually guided you so that you know what is right and what is wrong and you're not lost. To feel that somehow we're entitled to something because of it is, whoa, that's like really bad. That's the point where not only are you receiving a gift and a blessing, you also you feel like somehow you deserved it or you're entitled to it, and you're not. None of us are. We're not entitled to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. So if you make a mistake, you pay for it. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. This is what you did. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah is capable of all. If He wanted to grant you victory that day, He is capable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the fact that you were not victorious that day was by design. It was purposeful. You didn't do your job, you're going to lose. You disobeyed Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you lose. But, no buts. There's no buts. So imagine what we have to do today. As Muslims, imagine how we have to think about our own destiny and where we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving out free tickets. He's not going to, just because we're coming to masajid, just because we're praying, just because, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean, all it means is that we are trying to improve ourselves a bit, which is really good. Alhamdulillah, that's amazing. But there's no entitlement by doing that. It doesn't mean anything, things are going to work out the way we want it to. No. We have to work day and night to fix the deficits of our ummah and to find a way back from the very low spot that we are in. That's going to require hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Muslims to go turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, figuring out where they went wrong and their shortcomings and perform and repenting from it and starting to fix their ways and straighten themselves out. In the millions, this has to happen. It's going to take quite a while, I can tell you. One of the biggest mistakes we can make as human beings is that we put our foot on the first step and then we feel like we've accomplished something. All right, put my foot on the first step. I came to the masjid. Okay, what do you want? I want everything. Let the Palestine has to be back. The Muslim ummah. What are you talking about? There's going to be another 200-300 years. Maybe a fourth generation's child will see this. I know. Don't come and tell me. I know I'm pessimistic, but this is not pessimism. This is just realism. This is reality. We're very far away from where we once were. And if we have any hope of getting back to where we want to be, we have to work really hard. Like, our generation has to put in extra hours, like overtime, day and night. We have to push ourselves way beyond the limits of what was reasonable at any time, given time in history. Maybe, if we do that, maybe the next generation will be inspired to do the same. And then maybe it'll trickle out a few more and it'll work out. We're not even remotely close to where we need to be. This is what this verse is saying. What are you talking about? You were once on top of the world. Now that you're not, where you're going to walk around saying, "Anna hada," just take the verse and let's just do a, just kind of drop it on us. Now that we're not on top of the world, when we were for 1,000 years, we're going to say, "Anna hada." قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. This is you. This is what you've done. Change what you're doing, and things will change. Unfortunately, ruining things is much quicker than building. Building takes a long time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do it, inshallah. Allahumma ameen. Let's move to the verse after that. How about we do 186? 186? Can someone do 186?
لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ.
Yeah. Just to kind of pop up what I was talking about, this verse in Surah Ali Imran. Again, Ali Imran is telling you this is how you have to protect this. If you want to protect the manhaj that you have, the methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you, a lot has to happen. You have to work very hard for this. You have to be very capable of self-awareness and self-accountability, and you have to be able to improve. And this verse here, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ, the lam and the noon are there, are just emphasizers in the Arabic language. They exist to emphasize a verb. So the verb is tubla or tublaw. You're going to be tested. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ means, I swear to you that you will most definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, be tested. How? فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. And that test is going to affect your wealth, and it's going to affect yourself. You're going to be tested in ways where you have to give more than maybe you're willing to from your wealth. You're going to have to give more than you're willing to from yourself. He swears to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't need to. He could have just said tublaw. I would be happy with that. But he said لَتُبْلَوُنَّ, using two emphasizers. You will most definitely, I swear to you, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going to be tested. And the testing will happen within your wealth and will happen within yourselves. ولتسمعن, and you're going to hear, whether you like it or not, من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا, from different faiths, those who have books and those who don't, أذى كثيرة, many things that will harm you and hurt you. Meaning not only are you going to have to give from your wealth and give from yourselves, you're going to be under scrutiny all the time. You're always going to be under scrutiny and criticism, and they're going to go be after you, after your faith, after your teachings, after your rulings, after it all. And that's, isn't that what it is? Isn't that how it is? And that's what he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to happen. And that's exactly what's happening. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And if you show perseverance, and if you show piety, if you persevere, and you connect yourself with Allah throughout the process, indeed, that shows true strength. عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ means that you're showing the strength that you need to show. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. That's the way to go. There's no way around this. This is the reality of what it means to be a Muslim. You're going to be tested. And the two things you don't want to be tested in. You don't like being tested in your wealth or your family or yourself. It's not what you want. But that's what's going to happen. And it's not like you're going to have some part of you that's going to be protected, which is your faith. No, they're going to go after that too. You're going to hear a lot of adha. People are going to continuously go after every aspect of who you are. They're going to call you names. They're going to categorize you, stereotype you. They're going to put you in boxes. They're going to call you names. They're going to describe you in ways you don't agree with. Whether you like it or not, that's happening. So all that's left is وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. You just have to continue to be perseverant, and you continue to show piety, and then that will get you to where you hope to go. The end of Surah Ali Imran, I'm not going to have someone read the whole thing because it's long, but the end of Surah Ali Imran is probably one of the most beautiful finales of a surah in the Quran. And I'm saying that just after reciting the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we all love. But Surah Ali Imran is extremely powerful. And within it, I'm just going to quote one of the verses within that finale in the last. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. Don't be threatened or frightened by the vision of the disbelievers and your enemies having all the strength as they move around the globe doing what they want. This was something very specific to the Muslims during the time, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, hasn't changed too much today. Pretty much the same thing. لا يغرك. يغرك, don't be eluded by it. Don't allow that illusion, trick you or fool you to think that this is the reality. No. متاعٌ قليل. It's something they have for a short period of time. And then ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ. And after that, they go to a very different place. So what's the point of the verse? The point is just hold on to what you've got. Continue to persevere. Continue to strive. Give it your all. Don't be discouraged by the fact that others seem to have the upper hand. That doesn't matter. That goes and comes. That's what Surah Al-Imran is teaching. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. It's time. This goes and comes. What is constant is your belief, is your commitment to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the character that you bring with doing that. And that's what Surah Al-Imran is trying to teach us. Don't be fooled by the fluctuations of the world around you, because that's always been the case. Look, study history. What empire still stands today? Nothing. Nothing has stood for more than a couple of centuries. Everything falls. Everything, whatever goes up, comes down. And that's how you go up, you come down. And then you may go up again, you may not. But that's the law of the world. Don't be bothered by this constant, by the laws of nature. Just show sabr. That's why the end of the last verse in Surah Ali Imran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Four things. Show perseverance. Encourage each other to be perseverant. Don't just do it alone, but also help others to be perseverant. إِصْبِرُوا صَابِرُ. Make sure that other person beside you is also perseverant by you helping them. وَرَابِطُوا. And stand your ground, meaning stay there. Don't close shop and go because you're tired or you have something else to do. Rabitu means you're always there. You're standing on the front line. You're always there. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going. This is where we are. Where are we going to go? This is what we're here for. Islam is not a part-time gig. Not some membership at a gym. You don't show up when you want. Rabitu, you have to stand your ground the whole time for as long as it needs. And that means when you're going to work, when you're going to school, at your home, you are a Muslim standing on the front lines trying to hold down what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. It doesn't mean that you quit your job after this dars. It just means that you understand that wherever you're positioned or stationed within your life, right there is where you continue to stand your ground and show sabr and show musabara and show ribat. Wattaqullah, and continue to connect yourself with your Lord, which is what we're doing here in Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. Let someone recite for me number 19 of Surah An-Nisa. I think we have a few more. 19?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا.
Surah An-Nisa, you move on to something a little bit different. Surah An-Nisa talks about the values. The values and the principles that Islam is built upon. So that Surah Al-Ma'idah can move on to the rulings. The rulings and the covenants that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what you're going to do, the rituals, how are you going to follow stuff. Surah An-Nisa takes a step behind. It says, okay, here's your methodology, here's what you are, here's how you're going to protect it. Here are the values that generate everything within Islam. That's why Surah An-Nisa is very important. It talks about the core values of what Islam is about. And we're going to try and go through them over, tomorrow, inshallah, because we'll use a lot of the verses from Surah An-Nisa. But here's a good example at the beginning of it, ayah number 19. As he talks, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the relationship between a husband and a wife. And he talks about the fact that sometimes a man will have the inclination to oppress his wife. لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا. And he talks about, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the only time you are allowed to take something back from what you gave is if she commits a fahisha mubayyina. Outside of that, you're not allowed. At the end of that verse, he says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And you are commanded to treat them with the best of behavior that you have. What's the best that you got? What's the ma'roof? What is the beautified behavior that exists in the society that you live in? That is what you're going to treat them with. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ. This is for my brothers, not for my sisters. You didn't like that khutbah, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm okay with you not liking it. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنْ. And if you don't like them, but whom? Your wife, your wives. You don't like your wife. كَرِهْتُمُوهُنْ is actually not disliking. It's actually hate. If you hate them, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا, then it is very possible that you may hate something. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Yet Allah will put in it a lot of khair for you. This verse that says فَإِن كَرِهْتُ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا, that one piece, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, is used a lot. Muslims use it all the time. They use it everywhere, except in marriage. They use it everywhere. فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. You'll use it everywhere. You'll talk about this, any musibah that happens to a loved one, you'll say فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. But when we talk about marriage, when we talk about a man and woman not getting along, no. That verse does not apply. That's where the verse applies. It applies when he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you hate your wife, are you listening to what I'm saying? If he says what he said, I'm not, if I made this up, you would kick me out. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So I can't, you have no grounds, you have to listen. This is what he says. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنْ. And if you hate them. Well, what? Well, obviously, if I hate my wife, if you hate them, well, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Well, very possible that you hate something, Allah puts a lot of khair in it. We need a stiffer backbone when it comes to marriages, especially for my brothers, who are a bit younger, maybe my age, a little bit older, but younger. We see divorce as too much of an accessible option. It's an option, obviously. I can't take that away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the surah called talaq, and the surah al-Baqarah talked about talaq, so there's no way around it. But we are accessing this option way too quickly. And we are not understanding and recognizing the roles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us as men, as husbands in a household, as fathers and spouses. We don't see it anymore. And for the simplest problem, we are very quick to throw in the towel and move on. We're not listening to what he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And treat them with the best of your behavior. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ. And if you end up hating them, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Then it's very possible that you hate something and Allah puts a lot of khair in it. Take that verse and do with it what you want. But that is what he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the context of this ayah. That's the context of it. Obviously, the فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا is a proverb. It is. You can use it anywhere. فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا is a beautiful phrase that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a quote that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Quran that is beautiful. Because we hate a lot of things in our lives. And it ends up being very beneficial for us. Just at the moment, we can't see it. So, you know, we don't want it. Children have that all the time. You're forced to do a lot of stuff you don't like. But then later on in life, you're like, I'm glad someone was smart enough to make me do it. Because now I'm so blessed that I did it. It's just how life works. Every musibah you go through, every difficulty, when you come out the other side, you look back and say, Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of khair in doing this. Why is it that when we come to relationships, this is not thought in the same way? You worship your Lord. Huh? You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by showing sabr with your spouse. That's a part of your worship as a man. That's a part of your ibadah. Is you show sabr and perseverance with your wife. You show perseverance. You're not always happy. You're not even expected to. If you are, then you must be insane. It's impossible. It's just not possible for... It's always going to be difficulties. It's just part of life. But he takes it to the extreme, subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell you that even if you are in full disliking, if you can't stand it, it doesn't mean that that's ground for ending it. There are grounds for ending every relationship, and don't get me wrong, they're important. But listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And this is really, really more for my younger brothers who are coming close to getting married. Make sure you understand what your role in the household is. Make sure it's very clear to you what responsibility you are carrying once you are getting married. You are marrying this lady with the covenant of God Himself. Meaning He is watching upon you as you take care of this person that He has put in your trust. Not only her, but the children that will come. You're entrusted with these people. So whether you like them or you don't, doesn't really add too much to the equation, unfortunately. You continue to عَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And you never know. If you stick it out and you persevere and you hold your ground, you may find that something that you didn't like one day will have a lot of khayr in it. I just want to leave you with that thought, inshallah, before we go for Salat al-Isha. Jazakumullah khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Subhanallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Thank you.